One of the places in our region where different languages and cultures mix is SeaTac. Not the airport, the town. The census shows more than 70 languages are spoken there by immigrants from Somalia, Ethiopia, Mexico, all over. And yet the local government is still dominated by white people. A new slate of city council candidates says the city's leadership needs to reflect that diversity. But as Sound Effects' Jennifer Wing reports, the closer you look, the more complicated the picture gets. She starts out at a local landmark that's become a flashpoint for a changing community.
One location in SeaTac where residents and city officials have struggled to find understanding and connection is the Bacaro Mall. From the outside, the Bacaro Mall, which is also known as SeaTac Center, is a large rectangular building. Inside, there are more than 50 shops connected by long hallways. The stores are sectioned into compact spaces the size of small offices. For the last 15 years, this is where Somali Muslims from near and far have come to buy clothes, religious books, and specialty foods like tilapia samosas and camel's milk. Jamila Farole's mother has operated her store here for 11 years.
This place is it's a cultural center for all of us, for the Somali community in particular. It's a place where weddings take place. It's like a place where community gatherings happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can buy your wedding outfit here and you can celebrate upstairs in the hall that is up above
us. And have it made by the tailor. Yeah, a tailor that's across the hall from my mom.
Sure enough, right across the hall, pants are being hemmed. Almost all of the small businesses inside the Bacaro Mall are owned by Somali women. The city of SeaTac owns the property. The city is selling it to a developer for $15 million. The plan is to build 600 multifamily units with retail space on the first floor. 60% of the units will be affordable housing. I am here in late August, and in a few days from this visit, everything in these shops will be gone. In another store, several women are packing up boxes of dresses and scarves.
I'm crying today.
Yeah, she cry. Everybody crying today. So we lose all our stuff, our life. They mess it up everything.
This is Ishmahan Mohammed. She's been here for 9 years.
We package a lot of stuff. We're going to take the goodwill. We don't have choice. Nobody helping us.
Ishmahan is angry that the place where she and fellow Somali women worked together and socialized is closing. She's mad at the members of SeaTac's city council for selling the building. Ishmahan and others in the Somali community feel that the mostly white city council is trying to bring Donald Trump politics to SeaTac, where minorities make up the majority.
The leader of SeaTac, they're not supposed to sit in that chair. They has to move that chair because most people live in SeaTac is immigrant, is the African, and we are citizen. We not vote for them the way they treat us.
If it was just that simple, good guys over here, bad guys over there, but it's not. The city notified the tenants of the Bacaro Mall more than a year in advance that the property was going to be sold. The city offered to help them find new places nearby. The Refugee Women's Alliance, a nonprofit that works with immigrant communities, had an office in the mall. And with the city's help, it moved to SeaTac City Hall. SeaTac City Councilman Peter Kwan, who is Korean-American, is one of the incumbents up for re-election and is the sole minority on the council. He says that the people who were on the lease for the Bacaro Mall, members of the Somali community, kept subtenants like Jamila's mom and Ishmahan in the dark.
A lot of the businesses had the belief that they could stay forever. So that was very heartbreaking.
Back in 2017, Peter says that he found a way to preserve some of the businesses in the mall. About three blocks away from the Bacaro Mall in the city of Tukwila, SeaTac's neighbor, a nonprofit called Forterra was planning to construct an international marketplace.
This seemed like a really, really win-win solution.
Peter says that everyone in the Bacaro Mall had to be on board with the plan.
A couple of weeks went by. I didn't hear from them. So I went back and I said, hey, what's going on with this? And I was told the businesses were not interested. That was sadly an opportunity lost.
Depending on how you interpret them, there are reasons why the Somali community might not trust city leaders. In 2016, the City Council invited Washington State Representative Matt Shea from the Spokane area to hear his advice on whether the city should take a federal grant. At the time, Shea was strongly linked with the anti-Muslim group Act for America and has close ties to far-right extremists that promote political violence. Also in 2016, SeaTac's former city manager, James Donnie Payne, was accused of wanting to make a map to know where Shiite and Sunni Muslims lived in case he'd have to go in and make the peace. Payne has publicly denied this, saying he was trying to gather information about the city's residents so that the city could better serve their needs. Then there is the photo of SeaTac's mayor, Erin Sitterly, that was on her Facebook page. She's holding a shotgun and wearing a pink baseball cap with the word infidel displayed on the front. She says the photo was taken over a decade ago, years before she got into politics, and that yes, she owns a gun and knows how to shoot it. She didn't say anything about what was written on the hat. All of this doesn't sit very well with Damiana Merriweather. Damiana is a white middle-aged woman who runs four Korean fried chicken restaurants with her husband while they raise two small kids. She's running against incumbent council member Peter Kwan. She says just one of these examples could easily be shrugged off as a moment of bad judgment. But when you lump it all together, she sees a pattern.
I am very sensitive about accusing any person or group of people of something as loaded as being racist or being xenophobic or being anti-immigrant. But sometimes if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, there is no reasonable conclusion but to say it must be a duck.
The argument that there might be a problem with the majority white council representing a mostly minority community is one that Peter Kwan has heard before. Peter says a few years ago, he had a conversation about this with a member of the Somali community. Her name was Amina Ahmed. Peter remembers Amina coming up to him at the end of a council meeting and telling him how wonderful it was that he, a Korean American, was on the council. She said the community needed a minority representing them.
And my first question to Amina was, why do you feel that way? Do you feel that because other folks on the council do not look like you, that they don't represent you? Because I don't see it that way. And she said, well, it's not about whether they do represent you or not. It's about the perception, right? So if they kind of look like me, then, you know, whether they have opposing views, you might still feel represented. I get that.
Peter and Amina kept the dialogue open. He asked her for advice on how to make immigrants and refugees feel more welcome in SeaTac. He says she was the inspiration behind a resolution that says SeaTac is committed to diversity. The council passed it unanimously. Peter says that he went out into the community asking people how they might like to get involved with city government. Interest really ticked up when the idea for an arts and culture committee was brought up.
Most folks said, yeah, that would be great. You know, that's something I'm interested in. You know, I want to be able to promote my culture. I want to be able to put on, community art shows or whatever.
Peter and Amina worked on neighborhood cleanups. They worked on trying to get grants and on finding ways to get SeaTac residents higher paying jobs. Then a seat opened up on city council. More than a dozen people applied. Amina was at the top of the list.
Amina was the only one that had years of history of actually working with the community and being involved with local government.
Okay, we'll go on to agenda item number one. So Judge Robert Hamilton will swear Amina Ahmed in.
Amina attended four council meetings.
So my question was, is there a city process in regards to reviewing contracts with any agencies that the city contracts with?
In regards 2 months later, Amina died. She was killed in a car accident. After her death, Peter said the goal was to fill the position with someone familiar with how things work. Someone like Amina. Her replacement was a white man named Stanley Toombs. Damiana Merriweather, Peter Kwan's opponent, thinks this appointment was a misstep.
Fundamentally, I believe that for representative democracy to work, it needs to actually be representative, which means we need parents of very noisy young children. on our city council. We need members of our immigrant and minority community. We need old people. We need young people. We need brown people. We need white people. And that is where we get government that actually prioritizes the things that are important to the people who they govern.
Before Amina Ahmed died, she had a one-on-one meeting with the mayor, Aaron Sitterly. In an email, Aaron says that the list of ideas from that meeting between her and Amina, two women from very different backgrounds but who called the same place home, that list still guides the work of the council today. Aaron says that it's important to note that Amina was in full support of the redevelopment of Bacaro Mall. She says Amina urged the Somali businesses to move out and hoped they would come back once the new retail spaces were built. And remember that Arts and Culture Committee that the city created to try and get more involvement from SeaTac's incredibly diverse community? Peter Kwan says that out of the 7 seats that were open, 6 were filled by white men and women, and 1 by a person of color, just like the current city council.
That story from Sound Effects, Jennifer Wing.